What were we going to talk about?
I used to drink, when I was in college, I would drink blackberry wine, like from like, you would get like those jugs of like, Reuniti, yeah, like wh- sure, or whatever, and they had blackberry wine, and we would drink, and it was like, it was also like vaguely carbonated. Ugh,
I can't. Yeah, no, that's, yeah,
I had no idea. I had no idea what I was doing back then. I used also used to drink this scotch called Clan MacGregor.
Clan MacGregor.
It was so cheap and so bad, and I just remember the summer I got into scotch, I was living in Maryland alone, in like a college dorm room because I was working for a newspaper, and my older brother was of age, and he sent me down there with like a suitcase full of just like handles of plastic bottle handles of Clan MacGregor, and that was just like my summer was like drinking alone and watching the X-Files in like a dorm room because yeah. I was like in this strange town. I lived in a dorm. I wasn't 21, so I couldn't really go out anywhere. I would just go to the movies and go to Blockbuster. This was like still Blockbuster days, and just like drink, and it was like the greatest summer of my life.
Yeah. That sounds awesome. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Patrick.
And I'm Scott.
And in today's episode, we're going to talk about how people meet. So how did people that we know meet each other? How did Kathy and I meet? How does Scott meet all the hundreds of millions of women that he sleeps with daily?
It's a wild overstatement. Carry the two.
And divide.
I have a question. Who's Kathy?
Well, for everyone listening, you clearly listened to episode one and you know that Kathy is my fiance. Oh,
sorry,
shit.
Just wanted to make sure everyone knew.
Yeah, that's a good
in case they you know, yeah, jumped in on episode two.
True. Yeah, so this podcast is all about how people meet each other.
Yeah, it's just always been interesting to me to get like, you know, where did things start? How did you first like meet this person? How did your paths cross? And like, how did it ultimately evolve into like what it is now? And I think like people have their like how we met story,
right?
But I think that's like, you know, kind of taken for granted, like, oh, this is like how I met your mother or whatever.
Right,
but it's
right.
Really like, it is really interesting because there's like, I don't know, I'm not really like a big believer in fate or like serendipity or whatever, but there are like being in the right place at the right time or like matching with the right person,
sure,
at the right time. It's like crazy how something that can seem like random or like insignificant at the time can like completely define your life and change the way that everything is from that point on. Like,
yeah.
And you probably almost always don't really know like from the beginning.
Right.
One of my friends has this great story about his parents where his dad went on the first date with his mom, then called his dad right afterward and was like, "Hey dad, I just met the woman I'm going to marry." So I like to joke that like after every first date I go on, I text that to my mom. So that
just in case,
that,
yeah,
if I ever do meet the, yeah, person, I can have that, a story like that.
The thing that's interesting to me is the methodology in which people meet. So like the procedural way that people meet is different now with all the apps and online stuff. But overall, it's still kind of the same thing. I don't think it's that much different from a experiential point. It's just the actual technical detail is slightly different. So instead of bumping into somebody at a bar, you're getting matched on an app. But beyond that, it's basically the same. That's been kind of what I've seen when I look at people who have met, I don't know if you want to call it organically, but without like an app or something,
right,
like our parents or something like that.
Yeah.
Versus like myself and Kathy, we met on an app, and there's that, like the initial contact might have been different, but the experience still seems very similar.
Right. It's like once you break the ice, you still swim the same way.
Exactly. Ooh, that's nice. That's good.
Just came up with that.
Yeah?
Just came up with that right now. Yeah. Because that's the thing. Like, we've reached this amazing time in history where theoretically, you can first meet the love of your life while you're taking a shit at work and you're on Bumble or whatever, right. or Tinder,
right.
and you're sweating and you're, or you're like sending a message. Like,
right.
that's crazy. Like, it's a lot of people discount dating apps as like bad for you. And I'm sure there are bad things that, you know, bad negative psychological stuff, but it makes it easier. And like there's really no time that you can't be trying to find someone really now.
Right.
Which is like before those kinds of things existed, or like, I'm not going to go to like a singles night because I don't right. have to, because everyone who's single is on apps or.
Also, I just, even before apps, who really went to like singles nights and stuff like that?
I don't
even,
know.
Even that was, I think there's a weird disconnect where I don't know how many people still feel this way, but there certainly was in the beginning the stigma of like speed dating and singles nights and things that were organized with the sole purpose of two people meeting each other.
Mm-hmm.
They were kind of on the fringe of how people met, I right. would say, in my experience.
I would say so, yeah.
And then when online dating and then apps came around, it turned into, that is the fringe way of people meeting. So it's no longer speed dating yeah. and like single nights, it's online dating and apps. And that's not, I don't think those two are like, it's not the natural evolution of like, this
no.
is the fringe of how people
no.
meet. It's just,
dating apps quickly became normalized.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Like, it's not like, I don't really know anyone who's ever like speed dated or like done those things.
Right.
So it's all like how pop culture portrays it, like seeing it in TV and in movies and stuff
sure.
like that. And it's like always like there, you always kind of get the feeling that people like feel bad for somebody who's doing that, but nobody
right.
feels bad for you if you're on Tinder or Bumble
right.
or whatever. It's not like a maligned thing. Like
right.
it's normal.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're single. I think in my experience, it's actually been more like if I'm like, I'm not on dating apps, people are like, you're single and not on dating apps?
Yeah. It's like, weird now. The best explanation of it was a bit that Aziz Ansari did, where he talked about how basically what a dating app is you walk into a bar, and I'm paraphrasing here, but you walk into a bar and you say, okay,
yeah,
all women who are blonde, you guys can leave.
I remember this bit.
All women who are brown-eyed, you guys can leave. All women who are Christian, you guys can leave. Okay, let me talk to the rest of you. And this is certainly something that's heightened in a city like New York. And we talked about this in the first episode, where it's just overwhelming that there are so many people that you could potentially meet.
Right.
And so an app is just a way of filtering that overwhelming number of people that are out there to a still overwhelming number of people who are more aligned with what you're looking for.
Right. You can be more selective from the beginning.
Right.
And it's like, I have a friend who, she was talking to a guy. She lives in like Bed-Stuy, and he lives in, I don't know, like Astoria or something. And he just stopped talking to her as soon as he found out where she lived. And I'm like, but that's a thing is like, if you are like, that's, to me, that's fucking crazy that you're like, if you're like, oh my God, you live in a different borough than me, like, this is never going to work. But, you know, if you are that kind of person, then you can adapt your dating app to within a certain
yeah.
radius or whatever. So
I don't know, man. Bed-Stuy to Astoria, that's a hike.
Dude, I mean,
you got to go all the way. You got to go into Manhattan.
You got to go
all the way
yeah.
up and cut back over.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean,
I would never
will travel.
Exactly.
Isn't that what the saying is?
Yeah, I would never disqualify someone just because there's a lot of travel time involved.
No,
that's definitely kind of yeah. bonkers. Well, what are the apps that you're using right now?
Let me see. I have this.
Do you have a folder? You have
yeah,
a folder.
Yeah, you know, you can organize. I have a folder called "Don't Die Alone."
Nice. I mean, sad, but nice.
Yeah. You gotta have fun with it, you know?
Yeah, sure.
So I have Bumble. I have Tinder. I have Hinge. I have The League. And also, on and off, I have one called Coffee Meets Bagel.
Why on and off?
Well, they're all on and off. Oh, OkCupid, too. I use OkCupid. they're all on and off. Like, I'll go through, like, using them and not using them. Coffee Meets Bagel is just, like, one that is, that and The League both give you, like, a certain number of potential matches a day.
Okay.
And it feels, for me, I don't know, like, I don't know why, necessarily, it feels weird to be, like, I don't want somebody to tell me, like, here's your limit for the day.
Right.
Like, the potential of finding love.
Right.
Like, so, that kind of weirds me out. But, yeah, so I have a lot of them. I don't really use them diligently. I actually find that I use them more, like, in absent-minded times. Like,
yeah.
Like, literally, while I'm taking a shit at work, I'll check Instagram, be like, all right, well, okay, I've seen everything I need to see on Instagram. Switch over to Bumble, swipe a little bit. Like, it's like an absent-minded, like, and I'll find myself doing it and be like, oh.
I remember noticing that, and this was actually in the time when I was on Tinder and ultimately met Kathy, which we'll get to. But I noticed and I admired the way that you could absentmindedly go through these apps. And the reason I say I had admiration for it is because I think there is, again, going back to this idea of the bar analogy that Aziz Ansari set up. When you walk into a bar and you're looking for someone to meet, you look at their face, right? And you're like, I like that face. I don't like that face. I like that face. I don't like that face.
Right.
And it's weird because when you say it so plainly, it sounds very superficial. And I don't know if it sounds shitty or not. But the point is, like, that's just what we all do is...
Physical attraction's where it starts.
Yeah.
Like, 90% of the time.
And so it's weird that you wouldn't do the same level of immediate gut check when you're on an app. I think you really should be fast when you're on an app. You should be like, I like that face, I don't like that face.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did when I first started getting into online or apps or stuff like that, certainly with like OkCupid, I'm like looking at a profile and I'm like looking at the things that they like and the things they don't like and seeing how compatible we are and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Basically, I'm like trying to dig in way too deep about like, would I be compatible with this person? Which ultimately, I think, doomed the encounter because you lose that discovery phase, which I think is kind of important for creating a relationship with someone. Mm-hmm. Like finding out about them,
right?
Seeing if you connect or if there's something there. When you're already digging into their personality, it's kind of a weird like, all right, well, I already know these kind of the hit list of what you like and what you don't like. So now what?
Yeah.
But when I shifted away from that and I noticed like our friend Paul. We talked about this. He was like, you know, you have to be superficial with it. It is a superficial app, all these dating things. And so you need to treat it for what it is. And so look at the face for 5 minutes and think about like...
No, I mean, it's not...
Watching reruns of Scrubs with her on the couch or something like that.
It's crass. I mean, as crass as it sounds, that's a waste of your time, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like...
It really is.
The cart before the horse.
Yeah.
Not to say that women are horses or, you know what I mean.
Right. Totally. And I think that's something that's really interesting for me. It seems to be kind of a core thing about human nature that is the way that we approach this. And yet, when you talk about it, like you were saying in those terms, you're like, oh, well, I don't mean to be crass about it. It sounds a lot harsher, even though this is just how we do things.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, when you walk into a bar and you see somebody, you're like, and you keep saying, you know, I like that face. Because then you go and you try and learn more about that person. I think it really can hurt knowing too much about a person before you go on a date because there is a thing to opposites attracting. And you don't look at somebody's Bumble profile and be like, this person likes things that I don't like.
Right.
It's different. Like, because I feel like everyone's out there looking for somebody who likes the same things that they do.
Right.
You know, that can be detrimental. Like, I don't want to date myself.
Yeah. I totally found that. I found that kind of early on, the people that I would end up meeting, the overwhelming feeling was like, oh, yeah, I could totally be like... friends with this person, like best friends with this person. But it took away from the romantic attraction. it put them more in the friend level,
yeah,
than in the like romantic level.
That actually happened with my friend Molly, is one of my best friends in the world. We met on OkCupid, messaged a few times, and went on a couple of dates or whatever. And then she started seeing an ex again. And so we called it off. But like, we both work in advertising, so we ended up kind of meeting again and staying in touch. And now she's like one of my best friends. And I'm like, oh, I could have figured that out from OkCupid, that we'd be better as friends. But also, like, I don't want to use an app to find friends.
Yeah.
That's kind of sad and weird. Yeah.
So the apps that you have, why do you have the specific apps that you have?
I mean, I have most of the standards. I'd say at least in New York, the standards would be Tinder, Bumble, Hinge, maybe OkCupid.
Okay.
At least from my experience, those are like the normal ones. So the league's kind of weird, because you have to like be invited to join it.
Huh.
Because it started as like an Ivy League dating app. I'm clearly not Ivy League. But
right, because Penn is Ivy League, but not Penn State.
No, right. And I pretty much have them all, because when they come out, I download it because I'm curious. Like, if a new one comes out, I'll download it and see.
What is the one that you've had the most success with? Or is there one, and I guess this is a follow-up question, is there one that you like more than others?
I like Hinge. Hinge has worked well for me.
Do you like it more because you get more matches out of it, or like good dates out of it versus others, or is there something about the user experience?
I mean, I don't know, because I'm going with like success rates or whatever. Like, I've gotten the most good dates out of Hinge.
Sure.
I guess the second would be like Bumble, because Bumble is essentially Tinder, but women have to send the first message. So you can't send, like, you can't start things out with like a creepy message.
Huh.
But also, it's not on you to send the first message.
Right. So all you can do is you get matched with someone.
You get matched, and then they have to send you a message within 24 hours, or the match deletes on Bumble. That's how Bumble works. And like, I like that because I'm past a point in my life where I'm gonna sit around and like worry about crafting like the first message, and I'm like, wish the woman would just like message me. Because that's the thing, is like, I'd say 80% of the people I match with on Bumble, I never get a message from them at all.
Huh.
I'm like,
interesting.
I'm like, that weeds it out pretty quickly though.
Yeah,
I don't know, because I spent a couple years using Tinder, and I felt like it was always like on the guy to send some like message, and like for it to be witty or whatever. And I'm like, basically just don't feel like doing it anymore.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, it's nice to get a message to react to, or to just be like, okay, this person doesn't want to take the time to even send me a like, hey, how's it going?
Sure.
So, and Hinge I like because it's like Hinge, you can kind of, it's hard to articulate how Hinge works unless you like actually have it on your phone, but there's like, you put a lot of information. They have like fun, like questions, like almost like writing prompts kind of like, oh, like what's your go-to karaoke song? Or, you know, what would your last meal be?
Huh.
So like questions you would ask on a first date. So you're not like putting all of your information out there, but it is like, you know, it is like, oh, this would be like, oh, this person likes to sing Celine Dion at karaoke too. Right. I'd probably get along pretty well with her. Like,
obviously.
And it gives you something to work with instead of just being like, because a lot of the apps like Tinder or Bumble have like, you have like a paragraph to like talk about yourself. I just like having more to kind of work with.
Sure.
Or like something that I can be like, oh, your favorite writer's Dave Eggers. That's fucking cool. Like, what's your favorite Dave Eggers book? And it helps you start a conversation without having to be witty or like having to like think too much about it.
Right.
So I like that. And it's funny because, but like everyone I talk to likes a different thing. And I think it's all about like what works best for you.
Or yeah,
what
absolutely.
You think works best for you.
I laugh because a lot of those questions, I'm not sure if I ever really asked them on a first date.
Oh, no. I mean, I would never know. Like, so what's your karaoke song?
What's your go-to karaoke song?
If you were on death row, what would you eat?
Yeah.
And I'm always like, nothing. I'd be fucking so scared of dying. I wouldn't even... And then I'd be like, Domino's pasta bread bowl.
Might as well carbo load. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Carbon up for the trip down to hell.
Yeah, it'll go to my thighs, but I'll be dead. Who cares? Yeah.
Carbs don't count when you're dead.
Like, I want someone to have, like, I don't know, beef Wellington or some, like, caviar and whatever.
I would get something.
Pufferfish. The pufferfish that can kill you if it's not prepared correctly.
Oh, what if you just... Yeah, what if you ate something that just killed you before that they could kill you?
Ooh, interesting, yeah.
Like, if you were deathly allergic to, like, gluten. Like, well... Well, I guess if you're, like, in prison for 20 years, they're like, oh, well, I have a gluten allergy. They're like, we don't give a fuck, Jeffrey Dahmer. Like, we don't care what you're allergic to. Like, you're going to eat this.
Again, Domino's Bread Bowl.
Telling you, if you haven't had it, Domino's Pasta Bread Bowl is like 2,000 calories of just complete happiness.
Yeah. So you're on a lot of apps, but how many people have you met through, like, friends or things like that? Or I guess outside of the app world, app and online world.
I'd say for me, now it's probably like 50-50, but I have had a lot of like instances where I'll meet people at like a party, like a friend will be like having their birthday party or whatever, and I'll meet like a friend of a friend.
Sure.
And I've recently decided I don't really need my friends to be like, oh, this person would be good for you, you should meet them. And I appreciate it anytime somebody wants to do that for me.
Yeah, and I don't know how true this is, but I wonder how often that is successful, because I think that obviously, you know, friends are well-intentioned, but it's tough when you're trying to like be that matchmaker.
And it can put an added layer of pressure on the people who are doing the dating too.
Right.
Because you're like, absolutely. Oh, yeah. You're like, my friend's playing Hitch.
Right.
And they want this to work out. Yeah. So I got to go out with this person, even if I don't necessarily want to.
Really, like, that's the biggest life lesson, is that we all can't be Will Smith. There's only one Will Smith.
Right. That's 100. If there's one thing that you take away from this podcast,
it's that we are all one Kevin James.
Yeah.
But there's only one Will Smith.
Kevin can wait.
Yeah, exactly. We can wait. Will Smith can't.
But the thing that bothers me is that if a friend sets you up with their friend, then they're hearing your side of it.
Right.
They're hearing their side of it. It honestly makes me anxious to be like, there's somebody who I'm close with hearing about my faults or like why I fucked up or whatever, right, or why it's not going to work out or why they don't like me.
Right.
It just adds more anxiety to the whole process that is already an angst-inducing thing to begin with.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
But it was recently when things didn't work out with a woman that one of my dear friends had set me up with. I was like, man, I was like, this is so much worse than it just not working out. Because this friend has told me things, that, like, details about, like, what she's, like, her feedback or whatever.
And oh, yeah?
Like, yeah.
Oof.
Yeah. Basically, what happened was, like, I went on, like, two really good dates with this woman. And then on our third date, I just was too drunk, which, like, sometimes I get too drunk.
But that was, and you didn't get another chance beyond that?
Well, I guess now we should talk about it. So I was supposed to get another chance, right? We talked and everything. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, I got too drunk. I'd been, like, at a work thing before, and I drank too much of that and, you know, whatever. I didn't put my best foot forward.
Sure.
I was like, I'd like to take you out on a real date. This would have been my fourth time seeing this person.
Right,
it's like,
right,
a real date is necessary in order,
sure,
or whatever, normal.
Yeah.
And the woman, she was like, I would love that. That sounds great. Let's do it.
Okay.
And so I made reservations or whatever, and like 2 days beforehand, I was like, hey, I went ahead and made reservations and never heard from her. So on the day of this date that we were supposed to have, I still hadn't heard from her by like noon, and the reservations were at 7.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, I'm going to cancel the reservations because I think I'm just going to get ghosted.
Right.
Is what's happening here, which is fine. But then an hour before the reservation, she texted me and was like, I thought I texted you yesterday, but I must not have had service. It must not have gone through. Do you still want to meet up? And I was like, it's the 21st century. That's not really a viable, like, you know, if a text message doesn't get sent through now,
right,
like
right,
in this day and age. So I was just like, sorry, I'm like already back in Brooklyn. I got plans with a friend, because I just thought I was never going to hear from her again.
Right.
And I was like, if you want me to plan another date and we can go out. And then I just never heard from her again.
and that was the time you never heard from,
yeah,
her again.
Yeah.
Real.
And then I never, unless she thinks she sent a message to me that,
that didn't go through again.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, even my dad doesn't use that excuse.
Yeah.
Like, but also I'm saying that and it's like, maybe that was true. But
well,
I don't know.
Interesting, because I think I'm at a point in my life where I have to either make a reminder to do something or do it right away, because I will totally just forget. And there are definitely, right, times where, like, I see a message and I intend to respond and I just completely, I just don't.
Right. And that totally happens. That's totally,
it totally happens.
But the thing is, if somebody has that low of a level of excitement about hanging out with you again. Like, that's different, right? You know, because you're like, you're doing that. You're not doing that with somebody that you would be going on a date with.
It's weird because on one hand, I'm like, okay, the culture of ghosting to break off a relationship, that's not too terrible. This is the example of where that goes wrong in the worst way.
Right.
Of like, just because somebody hasn't responded doesn't necessarily mean that they are ghosting you, but also like, you have no choice but to think that way because that's also how things work now.
Right. And it's also a matter of pride too. You can't just sit around waiting. Like, that's the thing. Like, I'm, you know, if you make plans or whatever and you don't hear from somebody, like, you also can't be like, oh, I'm going to wait until an hour before and see if I hear from them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know. The messaging like an hour before is a little bit weird. I'm trying to think, as you're telling me the story, I'm trying to think through like, how would I have reacted had that been me? I also would have canceled a reservation, I think. But it is surprising to me that if it is legitimately just a miscommunication thing, aside from the excuse of not delivered or some whatever, like whatever that was, but let's just say that she was busy and it slipped her mind and she forgot. And she didn't intend to forget, but she forgot. Mm-hmm. We forget. It happens.
Right.
And then she felt bad about it, so she used some shitty excuse to cover for it.
Right.
That's fine. It's not great, but it's fine. But then if you give the option of, all right, well, you know, because it's so close to go time, I already, like, made other plans because I didn't hear from you.
Right.
It seems like it would be fine to just reschedule. Like, you gave the option of rescheduling.
Right, reschedule, and then I just never heard from her again.
Interesting.
But I was kicking myself over that one because, like, things went really well, and then I just was drunk Scott.
Do you think, so you think that it was because of that date, because the drunk Scott date, that she acted that way?
I don't know, man. That's the thing. I won't ever really know.
See, now if I were you, now I do want to know for my own sake, because I don't want to, like, because I would personally, like, be racking my brain about what exact, like, was it that date that sealed the deal, or was it something else about, because my initial reaction is basically like, all right, well, you didn't respond to me. I had set up this nice date for you, and then you didn't respond to me. And not only did you not respond to me, but you rejected my offer to reschedule it. So, like, I'm trying to show you that, like, no, I'm willing to put in effort. And
well, yeah, and it was a thing too where I was like, I know I was like too drunk the other night and you see me not at my best or whatever, and I said that to her and I was like, I'd like to take you out on like a proper date. And she was like, oh, I'd love that, like, I like tacos and guacamole. And I was like, okay, I'll make reservations at a fucking Mexican place.
Who doesn't like tacos?
I let reservations at Fonda go to waste, man. You ever been to Fonda?
Dude, yeah. You okay, all right. Well, now I'm going to back up and revise.
It was National Margarita Day.
You could have invited me, and we could have eaten fucking tacos and drank margaritas all night at Fonda, which is a delectable place. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about how people that we knew met, how they got together, and obviously I'm going to have to go into how Kathy and I met, and
more Kathy.
It's my philosophy on life is the more Kathy the better, because everyone likes Kathy more than me, and I don't say that in a bad way. It's I admit it, and I mean, it's true.
She's better than you.
Yeah, she is. She absolutely is. So okay. All that and more when we come back. Stick around.